The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Psalm 136 repeats the phrase, "His love endures forever." How long is forever? Yeah, it's a long time. Amen? And God's love will endure forever. What a blessed time we've had today to celebrate. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take an offering. But if you're a guest or just visiting with us today, just let the plate pass. This is something we do as family business. I thank God for the generosity of God's people here at Fellowship. We started something on Friday that I want to alert you to. It's 40 days of prayer until the election. And this little prayer guide is available out in the back. And today we're in this season. It starts out praying for revival in the church, which if there's ever going to be an awakening, there's got to be revival among God's people, right? So it starts with us. So we're praying today for repentance from idolatry and materialism. And those are big requests and good requests for us to offer up to God. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you today for the privilege of coming to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you did die and that veil was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that God is open to us fully. Lord, we love you and we love the Savior and we love the Spirit of God, and we ask you, dear Lord, to bless us, not because we deserve it, but that we might bring you honor and glory and celebrate your great love. Lord, we do pray that the believers across this nation will repent from idolatry. We all have many idols at times, things that take precedence over you. Lord, help us to identify those and reject those, and materialism as well. Help us to put our focus on the things that will last forever. For we walk by faith and not by sight alone. Lord, bless these gifts. We give them in the mighty name of Jesus for his glory. Help us to invest them in your kingdom here and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we also encourage you to memorize scripture. It's one of the ways this year we thought we would do this. Simple disciplines like memorizing scripture, like reading the word, like studying the word, like praying, like coming to church and fellowshipping with others, all contribute to help us grow in our walk with the Lord. And so we've been in 2 Timothy, and believe it or not, if we're working along, we're going to get this whole book memorized before the end of the year. So we're in chapter 4, and we just read a great charge in 1 and 2 that we memorized this week that said, preach the word. That's what Timothy was told. That's what we're still told today. Every time we stand up and share God's word, we're trying to illustrate for you how to study God's word for yourself. How you can just read it and study it and pray over it, and God will speak to you. It's a living book. So preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. So then he goes on to say this, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." A great number. They're very popular. But all they're doing is saying what people actually want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So that's an important passage for us to memorize this week, and I pray that God will help you as you do that. The verse for we chose for the year of 2024, and I think we're going to let it spill over into 2025 as well, is about making progress. And we want to make progress not only individually, but as a church as well. And here's a great plan for doing that. Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. If we're going to make progress, if we're really going to grow in our relationship with the Lord and in our ability to love him and love others and serve him and serve others, all those things, it's going to take diligence. Diligence is a word that means to give yourself wholly to something so that you might improve. I've noticed over the years, and particularly playing golf, that practice isn't enough. I have to have good practice. Sometimes when I practice things, they make me worse. So it's good practice. It's being diligent, he says, about these matters, which in the context is all about walking with the Lord. And then be devoted. Give yourself wholly to them. be devoted. Diligence and devotion helps us. I like the New Living Translation of that phrase. It says, throw yourself into these tasks. Be devoted, be diligent, and God will provide you with progress, and everybody will see it. And we want to grow to be more like Jesus. So that's what we chose as a verse for the year. Now, how are you going to do that, Pastor? Well, over here on this side, on this part of the wall, some years ago, we came up with the connects. Connect with Christ, connect in community, connect to culture. And they are in sequential order in some ways. It begins by connecting with Christ, and we're going to see that today from our text in Acts, to believe on the Lord Jesus, to connect with Him. And then to connect in community, which we mean other believers. Isn't it strange how you meet somebody and though you don't even know much about them, you just sense that they know the Lord like you do. Isn't that amazing? That's just such a strange feeling sometimes. And it's just such a sweet communion. So we want to connect in community, not just in large groups and small groups for our kids. Our students have groups as well. We have Awana for the children and Sunday school. All these things are meant to help us to connect in community because we're better together. God didn't call us to be lone rangers. And even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, so, you know. Connect with Christ. Connect in community. Connect to the culture. Connecting like this helps us to be able to reach out to others who don't know the Lord yet. And this is the great privilege we have to share the good news. And I want to encourage you that we are here to help equip you to do that. So, we're going to read a story today. We're breaking with our study in Mark. And we're going to go to the book of Acts. And I'm going to read a story. It's a baptism story. That's really what it is. It's just a simple baptism story. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Acts 8, verse 26, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candake, or Candace, some translations say, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you were reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch asked, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Oh, Lord, may you please open our hearts to the truth of this passage. May it really minister to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So, all right, here we go. Now, what happened? Here we are. What do we find in this fruitful evangelistic connection? Well, we find a faithful, Spirit-led witness, a sinner who needs to hear the gospel, and a clear presentation of the gospel. So, who is this faithful, Spirit-led witness? Well, it's Philip. He had been elected by the church as a deacon. Back in Acts chapter 6, there was some controversy about handing out free food to the widows. And so the church came to the apostles and said, man, we need some help with this. And the apostles said, listen, we devote ourselves to prayer and to the Word. So you find some people, and you designate them to do this. And it's very important, as the verse says, brothers and sisters, it was a congregational vote. Choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. You see, though they were spiritually qualified as much as an elder, they were wise men and they were filled with the Spirit. And this is Philip. Philip was one of them who was appointed, and they were the first deacons. Well, after that, God sent him out as an evangelist. It's amazing. This guy who started out as a deacon went to Samaria, and there he preached the gospel. And let's just look at a couple statements about that. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And so God used Philip to reach the people in Samaria. Do you remember the outline for the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, God was using Philip to get the word to the Samaritans. And it's so sweet how he was having this very successful campaign. But then we read in chapter 8 a moment ago that the angel of the Lord tell him to go to this desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And you can just see Philip saying, now, wait a minute. I'm having a very successful mission here in Samaria. No, you go to the road. You know, sometimes God tells us to do things that may not in the moment make much sense, right? And yet, here he was obeying God, and so he went to that desert road. He obeyed the call of God. He is a faithful, Spirit-led witness. That's really all it takes. A messenger to share the good news. And here he was, a disciple who just walked with Jesus. Well, we need a sinner who needs to hear the gospel. So we meet this Ethiopian eunuch in this story. Very interesting. You see, sinners come in all shapes, sizes, you know, backgrounds, all kinds of different things. In fact, everyone that you meet needs to hear the gospel. Everyone you've ever met or ever will meet needs to hear the gospel. God sent Philip to this Ethiopian. He obviously was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. But he had been in Jerusalem to worship the Lord, which is very, very interesting. He came all the way from Ethiopia to come to Jerusalem, to the temple. Now, we had read this just about a week or so ago in Isaiah 56. Now, we know he was reading Isaiah 53, but if he ever turned over to 56, of course, the scroll he had wasn't numbered like we have in the Bible. But look at what it says in Isaiah 56. We just read this recently. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from this people. And let no eunuch complain. This man was a eunuch. He would have been disqualified to go into the temple because of that. I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. You wonder if the eunuch had read that. And then he's back in chapter 53 and he's reading about the gospel. Now, this man is a very important man in Ethiopia. He's in charge of the money. He's in charge of the treasury, and he's sent with a delegation, it almost seems, on this chariot. I mean, it was a Cadillac. It was a BMW. It was a Lexus, you know, of that day, and it was a beautiful chariot, and they had room for Philip to join him in the seat, as you say. He was rich. He bought a scroll. You know, you can go to the bookstore and buy a Bible. It's not that expensive necessarily. If you get a paperback, it's really quite inexpensive. But in that day, to have a scroll, that took a lot of money. So he had the money to buy the scroll, and he wasn't going to just put it on a shelf somewhere as a display. He was actually reading it. What a open book he was. The Spirit of God was moving in his life too, wasn't he? He was being prepared to hear the gospel. What better way than reading scripture? I've always said, I think it's the wisest thing when you're helping someone to come to know the Lord, pull out a Bible if you have one, let them read it for themselves, and let the Spirit of God do the work in their lives. Everyone you meet, everyone you know, or ever will, needs to hear the gospel. That's why around here 15 years ago, we started something called Praying for Five Faves, five people that we would pray for by name that we believe didn't yet know the Lord. I have a friend back in New Jersey. I used to coach with him, Little League. And just the other day, since I came here, I'd been praying for him. He came to Christ. He's Jewish. I don't really know all the details of the story, but he was telling me how he's reading through the New Testament. And it was so exciting. Way to go, Stu. How far are you? He said, well, I'm almost done. It's wonderful. I love to hear five faith stories. I hear them all the time. When we pray for somebody by name, God begins to work in their lives. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. And we pray diligently and devotedly that they might hear the good news. Somebody prayed for me. I know my mama was praying for me when I trusted Christ, and my daddy was too. So the sinner needs to hear the gospel, and that's what happened to this guy. Now, a clear presentation of the gospel. The eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, what is the prophet talking about? You know, that's such an open door, isn't it? He just wants to know. And he wants to hear from the Word of God, the meaning of the Word of God. It's a very beautiful story. I love that Philip was patient with him. He didn't try to answer questions the guy wasn't asking. He just is patient with him. And he explains from Scripture what the gospel is. The timing was just perfect. He was seeking. And keep it simple. I confess to you something that happened to me many years ago. I had come to know Jesus. I was studying the Bible at a Christian college, and I was working in a grocery store that summer. So about 3 a.m., because I worked night crew, this guy Ken came over to me and got me alone, and he says, Rick, I want to know the gospel. What do I need to do to get to heaven? And I started in the Garden of Eden, and we never got out of the Garden of Eden. And I was so embarrassed that I didn't help Ken at all, because I wasn't prepared. Later, I sent him a book, and I hope he read the book. I hope Ken is in heaven or is on his way to heaven. I don't know, because I wasn't prepared. So having a clear presentation of the gospel in your pocket is really important. So I want to share with you a very simple one-verse presentation of the gospel. I've used this so many times. I've seen people come to Christ. I think there are probably people even here right now who God used this verse to help them come to Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the first verse I taught my children when they were just little. This is how I taught it to them. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, see, it works, doesn't it? Huh? So if you're helping somebody, you bring them to this verse, and you say, now, listen, what are the three key words of the first half of that verse? And anyone's going to see them. Wages, sin, death. They're the three key words. They're very important words. And you can help them to explain. Wages, that's what you earn. Every religion of the world, other than Christianity, says you've got to earn your way to heaven. You've got to get there on your own. You've got to pay this, do this, whatever. Wages of sin. Sin, what's sin? It's missing the mark. It's not doing what God wants. The wages you earn because of sin is death. Now, I know he's not talking about physical death. How do I know that? Because he didn't say will be death. He said, is death. He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about feeling separated from God. And even though you try to do many things, do you remember those days before you knew Christ? Maybe you were trying this, trying that, and you just couldn't get anywhere. I think Emmy kind of said that in her little testimony today. Brothers and sisters, if this is all the Bible had to tell us, it'd be horrible, wouldn't it? What you're going to earn because of sin is death. But maybe the best word in the whole verse is, but there's a contrast. Yes. So you take them to the second half. You say, now, what are the key words on this half of the verse? Gift of God is eternal life. Now, you're a very intelligent group. Do you see a contrast between those words? Do you see how clear the gospel is presented here? It's a gift. It's not something you earn. It's a gift. You receive it freely. In fact, the word actually has the word grace in it. It, some translations say free gift, and it is. It's a gift of God. In contrast to sin, God is holy, and he's loving, and he's kind, and he's all these things. And he's in great contrast to sin. And the gift of God is eternal life. So do you have to wait until you die to get eternal life? No. This is a relationship with God. That's what Jesus said in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It's a relationship with God. And it's possible. And it's real. And it's everlasting. It does last forever. But it begins when you believe. It begins the moment you believe. So you say, now listen, which side of the ledger are you on? And almost invariably people say, well, I'm in the middle. Well, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. I don't know if you can just be in the middle. Maybe you're seeking like the Ethiopian was. But how do you get from the left side to the right side? Like, how do you get there? How do you receive this gift? He tells you the verse, doesn't he? Yeah, he says, through or in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometimes on the napkin, I put a big cross right in the middle, right? Because of Jesus, you can cross over. Some versions of this call it the bridge illustration. You cross over from the left of death to life. Hallelujah. Do you want to receive this gift right now? And I hear people say, yeah, I want to have that gift. Well, what do you need to do? Believe on Jesus. It's that simple. It's a gift. It begins when you believe on Jesus. You don't need to pray in King James English. Hallelujah. You don't have to have any magical words. If your God is moving in your heart and you say, I want the Savior. I want to know that I have eternal life. All you need to do is believe in him. Isn't that a great presentation? I think it is. It's so simple. Even somebody like me can memorize this pretty quickly. And I've watched God use it time and time and time again. That's what happened that day with Philip and the eunuch. And it says that as they were going along, the guy said, why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, you can be baptized. And so he... in verse 37, confesses his faith, and then they go down into the water. So I'm a Baptist. So like today, we dunked people. The dear Haitian man said, you tried to drown me. I said, no, I didn't, Anthony. I really didn't. But that's the way we're baptized, because it's a symbol of what happened the moment we trusted Christ. We die to ourselves, and we rise to live a new life. The baptism doesn't save you. It's just a symbol of what God did inwardly in your life. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we do it publicly, so everybody will know. Wasn't it sweet? It was so sweet to hear Phoebe saying how she just wanted everybody to know that she follows Jesus, right? Yeah, that's what you said. So hallelujah. See, this is the beauty of baptism. But he had to believe before he was baptized. They didn't take any time and say, I'm going to put you on probation for a while. Wasn't any of that. He got baptized right away. Do you know what happened to the eunuch? There is a church in Ethiopia because of this man. The gospel went to the uttermost parts of the world that day, all the way to Ethiopia. We have an Ethiopian family that's here and worships with us. And actually, Nue's twin brother was here, the first service. And we're all calling him Nue, and it was his twin brother. It was so funny. Anyway, a church was started in Ethiopia because one eunuch came to faith because Philip was faithful and shared the good news with him. This is what God does. He does it today. If we took the time, many of us could share testimony of how it happened. We weren't riding in a chariot. We may not have been reading Isaiah 53. But there were circumstances that God used. And somebody had to step forth and be a voice. And you see, you and I are those people. We're either good witnesses or bad ones. So let's ask God to help us to be equipped to share the good news. I tried to give you a very simple gospel presentation. Put it in your toolbox. It's not hard to memorize. I left room in the bulletin so you can write it down. Use it on a napkin. Draw it on your hand if you have to. Draw it on somebody else's hand. But get the good news out, right? That's the beauty of connecting to the culture. That's the beauty of seeing lives transformed. Maybe you're sitting here today or you're watching online and you say, I don't know if I've ever really trusted Christ myself. Why not? Do it today. It's very simple. All you have to do is cross over. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for giving us this wonderful day of worship. Oh, my Father, it's been so wonderful to be in your house, to hear the testimonies of these who have put their faith in Christ and were baptized. And thank you for this very simple baptism story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, Father, thank you for the glorious good news that saves us from death and gives us eternal life. For as your word says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe on the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.